Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and today I come from a little tiny box. No, I'm just kidding. I'm on the road. I'm running the London Marketing Meetup very shortly, this evening in fact. Today is the 9th of October. And today I have the pleasure of bringing you yet another brilliant marketing-based talk from a wonderful human being. Now you'll have to forgive the background noise because I'm in an office, so that's going to go on all the time. Anyway, this talk by Martin is all about storytelling. And I know this is something, as a marketer, that seems to have reached like full buzzword status, but the way that Martin, who is by day a market researcher, tells his story and conveys his talk makes it a completely memorable experience that is just completely funny as well as it is fulfilling in terms of gaining knowledge. I love this talk. I thought it was really well put together. You could probably hear my laughing in the background. I make no apologies for that. So I just really hope you enjoy it too. If you'd like anything more from the Marketing Meetup, head to themarketingmeetup.com. Come to one of the events. We're in 5 locations: London, Cambridge, Norwich, Bedford and Birmingham. And listen to more of the podcast. All the episodes are recorded. They're there for you. I really hope you enjoy them. If there's any feedback, please let me know. I love you all, and I really hope you enjoy it. Speak soon.
He was bringing a potent combination of...
I know. Something's got to work. I woke up in the night, coughing like crazy, and had absolutely no voice this morning. I rang Joe up, croaked down the phone at him and said, I'm not sure, but I'm going to be there, come what may. And now I'm standing in front of you, come what may, I'm going to deliver this talk. Okay? It might take the rest of that beer, it might take the lemon and ginger tea, but I'm going to get there. Okay. So I want to tell you a story. A couple of weeks ago, we're in the season of mists now, aren't we? We're into autumn, and I did a wander down towards UEA. There's that field where you overlook the lake, and there was a mist forming. It was such a beautiful scene, such a beautiful evening. I decided to just rest. I sat down on a fence and just looked out over this field. I heard a voice. I heard this. Hello. I looked around and I couldn't see a soul. Just this mist. Hello. I realised that the voice was actually coming from up above me. So I looked up and there's a guy in a hot air balloon basket looking down at me. So, hello. He said, I wonder if you could help me. I'm lost. I don't know where I am, and I'm supposed to meet a friend in 30 minutes. Can you help me? Can you tell me where I am? So I said, yeah, of course. I said, you're in a hot air balloon basket. You're suspended about 30 feet above the ground, and you're somewhere on the outskirts of Norwich. He looked down at me and he said, are you by any chance a market researcher? Yeah, but how did you guess? So he said, well, everything that you've told me is correct. He said, but it's of absolutely no use to me whatsoever. I'm not going to get anywhere. And of course, as usual, you're sat on the bloody fence. So I looked up at him. I said, excuse me, but are you by any chance a marketer? He said, well, yeah, I am, but how did you guess? So I said, well, as usual, you don't know where you are, you don't know where you're going or how you're going to get there. 5 minutes ago, you were in exactly the same situation, but now it's my fault. And as usual, you're full of hot air. So, I use that story often to help explain to marketers who aren't as bright and intelligent as you lot how and when positively to use market research. I love this quote. Stories are basic to human memory processes. The mind establishes a storyline with the memory of one event triggering the memory of a next. Early humans, so this goes back to cave times. We shared our experiences and shared the knowledge that we had gained, that we knew we needed to pass on to those that followed us, way back as far as cavemen, through stories. Why? Because they work. They absolutely work. Let me tell you another story. So, a couple of weeks ago, again, walking home, it's late at night, going down a dark street towards my house, and I see this guy on the ground. He's like on his all fours, obviously searching for something. So as I got closer, I thought, well, he seems all right. I know he's not some horrible old nasty drunk or whatever, so I will speak to him. So I said, you okay, mate? He said, oh, no. He said, I've lost my car keys. Oh, shit, sorry. Can I help? He said, yeah. Could you help me look for them? So I said, yeah, sure. Where did you drop them? And he pointed about 10 yards away to this dark alley. So I said, well, why are you searching here? And he looked at me as if I was absolutely stupid and said, well, this is where the light is. Absolutely no laugh whatsoever. That's going to be great. Okay. That's because you're all marketers. I use that story when I need to show people that I'm working with, clients, marketeers, whatever, when not to use market research. Don't go spending loads of money on something just because you spent it last year and you think you need to spend it again, otherwise you won't be able to make the same decisions again. Is that story true? Of course it bloody isn't. I made it up. Does that matter? Absolutely not. Why? Because it contains truth. It's not true, but it does contain truth. This is an opening shot from the film Coraline. And G.K. Chesterton is quoted as saying, fairy tales are more than true because they tell us dragons. Sorry. Because they tell... No, it should... It's gone off the side. You've stitched me up, Joe. It's gone off the side. It says... Not because they tell us dragons exist, but because they tell us dragons can be beaten. Okay, thanks for that. Rule number one, always check your slides beforehand. So, but the, and although, what's his name? Neil Gaiman, who wrote Coraline, actually misquotes G.K. Chesterton there. He's slightly changed the wording. The point is very much the same one as mine, that good stories work when they tell a truth. It doesn't matter whether they're true or not. Here's another guy that gets quoted a lot, Antonio Damasio. You'll have all seen quotes of his. This particular one is a recent one. We are not thinking machines that feel, rather we are feeling machines that think. And this echoes something that Amanda was saying a few minutes ago. About how emotions work. We need to unpick this. What's he saying? He's telling us that the way that we share thoughts, information, and attitudes is what leads. So it's about the fact that it's emotions that lead us, not rational thoughts. We don't make decisions by thinking through things and then having a feeling about them afterwards. What we do is do things because of an impulse, because of a feeling, and post hoc rationalise afterwards. Now, people have been talking about this for years in terms of consumer buying behaviour, etc. What's happening more recently is that we're learning more about the way the brain works. And so actually there's now a lot of science behind some of this knowledge. And what it tells us is that the way that the brain works actually, a lot of the things that we think we are deciding on are actually inbuilt in us. We are just doing them naturally. Okay, look at these words. There's 9 words up there. Okay, this is a little task for you. Many of you got a phone in your hand, maybe a bit of paper and pen or whatever. I want you to use your phone or your tablet or whatever to organise those 9 words into the order that makes most sense to you. Have a couple of minutes. I need to sip something. When somebody's happy that they've done it, shove your hand up. Yeah, what have you got?
Old black Mexican cooking, lovely hemispherical, still in the pot.
How does that sound, everyone?
Clumsy.
Okay. Sorry. Anybody else like to have a go? No, I've embarrassed him. Anybody else want to give it a shot? Yeah.
Lovely little hemispherical old black steel Mexican pot.
How did that sound?
Better.
It
started all right.
Started all right, then it went off a bit. Okay. Yeah, go on.
A lovely little old hemispherical steel Mexican cooking pot.
Now you missed out black. Never mind. It was almost exactly what I've got written down here. Anyone else? Is that beginning to sound closer to it? Let's have a look.
Black hemispherical.
Oh. I think if we all did this long enough, like another 10 minutes or so, that is what we would end up with. A lovely little old hemispherical black Mexican steel cooking pot. Agreed? Does that sound right when I say it? Well, there's a very specific reason that that is the order, whether you like it or not. And that is because it follows that. Opinion first, followed by size, then age, then shape, then colour, origin, material, purpose, then, of course, the noun to finish. And you don't have to have all of those. Obviously, you can just be working with 2 or 3 of them or whatever, which is why we would always say little old man. We would never say old little man. People would just look at you like you just learned the language. Okay. And in fact, if you mess with it, you're committing something called hyperbaton. You thought you'd learn nothing tonight.
Hey.
Now, when in doubt at any of these things, I was taught a lesson years ago, which is when you need to show a picture of a kitten, it always works. So what does the kitten say? The kitten says, meow. Why? Because that is a very useful mnemonic to remember another of these innate things that we all have inside us in terms of communication and words. So we say, pitter-patter, tit-for-tat, hip-hop, flip-flop, chit-chat, sing-song, bish-bash-bosh, bric-a-brac, ding-dong, riff-raff, and criss-cross. We would never say cross-criss. We would never say bosh-bash-bish. We would always put those vowels in that order. And it doesn't matter. So that's why I use meow, because it remembers I-A-O. We'll always go in that order. And I'm betting that nobody has ever realised that. We've been using these phrases for as long as we've been on the planet, but we've never realised that it was something that was absolutely innate to our communication. Oh, by the way, that's called ablaut reduplication. There is a test later. So, there are aspects of communication. Excuse me, I'm going to have to take a sip again. They're absolutely built into our psyches. So it helps to know these if part of your job is communicating with a particular target audience. out of interest, how many of you know Joseph Campbell's work? Amanda? Right? No? Okay. So what he did in 1949, he wrote a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. Now you may have heard of that. Essentially what he did Remember, this is 1949, so this is sort of, you know, a long time ago in terms of modern culture. He looked at stories, myths, legends, plays that had been as far back as the Greeks, etc., all the way through. And what he did by analysing them was discover sort of common threads and actually like a common journey that was taken throughout all those stories. He called it the hero's journey. And we can look at it here. So, our hero will always begin in familiar territory, but often uncomfortably so. So they will receive some sort of call to adventure and eventually cross a threshold into the unknown, often with the help of a supernatural aid. Past the threshold, then into a series of challenges, which will often lead to a real nadir, an abyss, near death, whether it's true or allegorical, whatever, which from which they need to go through a rebirth, through transformation, atonement, across that divide again, back into familiarity through the return. So this was Joseph Campbell, and it's a long time ago. What's more modern and really, really worth checking out, I mean, I honestly suggest you do this, there's a chap called Christopher Vogler, V-O-G-L-E-R, and he looked at Campbell's work and has written books on films. So how Hollywood has taken on this, often unwittingly, and presented the hero's journey to us in a whole range of film franchises, all of which will follow that basic route that you just saw. Now, this is interesting, but it actually goes beyond interesting in the sense of why. Why do they all follow this? The reason is because they talk to us at that deep level. They talk to us at a subconscious level. We recognize them. We want to be part of them. It's like the word games. They're part of our psyche. They're part of the way that we relate to the rest of the world. So you don't have to follow the hero's journey pattern if you make a film, but maybe to break it is going to be at your peril. And what you do is you end up with a 3 out of 10 film that you see on the Isle of Wight because the guy who wrote that film couldn't decide what type of film he wanted to put in front of us. He couldn't decide whether it was a heist movie or a comedy, and it fell between those two stools. Okay. So, there is an intuitivity in terms of how we communicate. We know when something sounds right. We've seen how that works itself in language and also in stories, as Campbell and Vogler have shown. So understanding that and weaving it in to marketing communication, I believe, means that messages are understood more readily and remembered more easily. They actually then fit in to our memory circuits. We need to echo the way that people feel and respond to things in the same way that good books and plays and movies do. So a little bit of personal thing here. I spent 10 years as a researcher, with my biggest client being Guinness World Records. I virtually did all their qualitative research for about 10 years. And about 5 years ago, excuse me, ITV decided to make a documentary about Guinness World Records, and one of the things they did was come along and film one of the focus groups that I did. So obviously I was very keen to see the programme when it was aired on ITV. When I watched it, apart from the fact of wanting to commit suicide because they cut me, was this story, Dangi. So full name, Chandra Bahadur Dangi, born 30th November 1939, died 3rd September 2015. He was the shortest man in recorded history for whom there is irrefutable evidence. He measured 54.5 centimetres, or 1 foot 9.5 inches. He was a primordial dwarf. He was still alive when the ITV programme was made. The presentation of his story exactly followed that of the hero's journey. All the way through, right the way to going back to his little village with his Guinness World Records certificate as his sort of, you know, hero's trophy. And it, you could see that it was going to speak to an audience far more than anything else they'd included in the programme. And you could see why. I could see why. So I hope that storytelling, I hope I've been able to get some new knowledge across to you. I hope that some of it's useful, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Also, Amanda, I'm sure.
We'll do, you guys, Martin might die, but assuming he doesn't, you'll be around for like a little bit afterwards, so you can grab questions afterwards. Sweet. Thank you so much, both of you. I think they were two awesome talks, and they just fitted together so lovely and conveyed so brilliantly. So well done. Thank you very much. So some just last bits for me before you guys can all congregate in the same space rather than using all of it. I'm joking. That was a joke. But so the talks will be available on the podcast afterwards. You can get wherever you get podcasts, so Spotify, Castbox, whatever. It's there. So if you search for Marketing Meetup Podcast, there's talks from like London and Cambridge as well as past Norwich events as well. So you should use that. The website is themarketingmeetup.com, which will hopefully become more of a hub of content for across the network. That's how I'm thinking. There's the Facebook group, which is the Marketing Meetup. You can meet your marketing friends there and chat to one another. And then the next Norwich Meetup is all about failure. And then we're going to do a lightning talk session as well, which would be wicked. I love lightning talks. And I think it's a real sort of energy. We're also, this is the cool bit because it sort of shows all the work. So we're also in Cambridge on October 2nd, London, October 9th. That's October. See, I thought I'd been clever by changes in numbers. So, October 2nd. London, October 9th, Bedford, October 10th, and then Birmingham, November 5th, which I'm now realising is bonfire night. Good planning. Anyway, we'll sort that out. But yeah, if you'd like to come across to any of those, then please do. So, as ever, what I'd like to say is thank you very, very much for being just splendid human beings. We've actually got a little bit of time for you guys to meet each other. Please do use all the space. That sort of sassy a remark at the beginning there was because all you gather around the tables and then there's like loads of room in the corridor. So use that. And yeah, please come back next month. I love you all so much. You all laugh because you're like nervous British people. thank you. Cheers. Thank you.